Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
He's talking to us from Europe, and we're going to have us some fun. Are we? Alessandro, it's good to see you, man. Did you hear me? Wait. I got...
The audio is very poor. I hear you very far away.
Okay, there. Oh, you know what? I know how to fix that. I have the technology. Let me just go ahead and do that. Yeah, it's a Skype thing. Let me push the button next to my heart. That, and... Boom! Is that better?
That's better. Much better. Okay, now I hear you.
There we go. Yeah, it's good to have you on. I've missed you. You know, Mark Victor, is he there? Is he coming? He's going to be there pretty soon or something, isn't he?
Yes, he's coming on Saturday. I missed you too, by the way. It's good to hear you.
You know, Mark's going. I go, dang it. I'll talk to him first. I win. Anyway, so I'm so glad to have you. You know, there's so many things going on here in America, and we want to get the perspective, you know, from you. Okay. Now, who I was just on with, here in America, we have an organization called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. And LEAP has been around for, over 15 years or so. And what they do is these are guys that retire. They're undercover cops. They're corrections officers. They're sheriffs. They're, you know, they come out and say, no, this drug war sucks, man. Let me tell you why. So they really are having an impact. But the pharma industry, I'm wondering what kind of controls do they have in Europe, like, you know, forced vaccinations, you can't get, you know, this drug, and you got to take that drug, and Ritalin it up the children, and so on. And the issue here now, there's a drug called Kratom that's out of Asia, that's a leaf of a tree or something that is a replacement for opiate addiction. It's, you know, does pain reduction. It's, you know, it's like the coca leaf, but more opioid, been around for, you know, thousands of years in humans, whatever. And all of a sudden, from out of the blue, people, it must be working because the federal government, it's heroin now, damn it, and you're not allowed to do it, you know? So my question is, in, you know, just get this out because it's been on an issue for us for a while here. Pharma, drug companies, Europe, what you have to take, what you can't take, give us your opinion.
Okay. I think the overall movement is very similar in Europe to the United States. We have big pharma industry. We have now the merger between Bayer and Monsanto going on. They are a big power. And we have on the one side pharma industry, which are pressing, for example, for forced vaccinations. They are putting big pressure on the doctors. Recently, it came out in Italy that the health ministry would recommend the medical authorities to proceed against doctors who did not advise their patients to apply, to use vaccinations or something like that. There is a big movement against natural medicine, against alternative medicine, but there is rebellion going on. For example, I recently spoke with young parents of a small girl. They fought their doctor, refused vaccinations, and they said, no, we don't do it. That's it. There are many movements for alternative medicine, for example, for cancer treatment, for painkillers, and so on. So You really feel like in the United States there is a little war going on between big pharma industry who wants to put on power and pressure on the doctors, on the people, and what's going on in the society, which refuses such kind of treatments. I think it's quite similar, United States and Europe. As usual, in the United States, there are more organizations which do things like this. In Europe, it's less, but it's a very strong feeling between the common people.
Well, I'm wondering how much opposition. You would think Europe would have, you know, older traditions of grandma just had licked this rock and you're cured of, you know, cancer or something. And they're just like, hell no, you're so not allowed. And I'm wondering, the pushback is coming from where? I mean, from whom? When you say there's pushback, is it a political thing, a religious thing? It's just a common knowledge thing? It's grandma's? Where's the pushback coming against the government?
No, quite curiously, it's not the tradition that is driving the pushback. Let's say the older people trust the doctors, trust the public health care. In most countries in Europe, you have a big socialist organization of public health care. So especially the older generations are used to go to their doctor with whom they don't pay usually because he's provided by the state, and trust the organization, trust the structure, and trust the medicine which comes from the state, from the government. The movement against this kind of treatments comes more from the young people. I was citing the case of the young parents who refused vaccinations for their young daughter, and it's more a grassroots movement that is coming from younger people. For example, there is a strong movement against not only drugs, but against genetically modified organisms, GMOs. It's a big theme here in Europe, and I think the main driving force comes from the young people.
Well, the opposition in the government, you know, where did that, was that, they were kind of building up their parliamentarians, their prime ministers, their members of parliament, their congressmen, their legislators, their whatever. Is that kind of, they got them in place and then boom, we mandate and this generation must also be vaccinated of blah, blah, blah. Or was it from some reason that they needed them? Was there some rampant plague that was going on in Europe or something? Or it's just propaganda? I'm wondering what the influence of pharma, because a lot of these companies are from Europe. You know, they're leftovers from, you know, Nazi Germany. I mean, you know, this is, I'm wondering, you know, how ingrained are they in the government? You know, this opposite, that's going to mandate you get a shot thing. You know, what are we up against?
They are deeply ingrained in the government. I think Doug Casey is using the expression recently. They are the deep state, and I think it's a very good expression. They are the interconnection between big business and government officials. It's not so much a thing that you find in parliaments, in laws. It's more a regulatory government, which exactly in Europe, as in the United States, doesn't have the form of acts by the parliament, but is maybe the regulations by the Ministry of Health or by smaller boards of government, which in fact shape the lives of people, because they, for example, they authorize or not drugs, they make mandatory recommendations for certain protocols for the doctors. And what is important to say in Europe is that the whole business, the whole thing, is deeply controlled by the state, because the biggest chunk of the healthcare industry is controlled by the state.
All right, when we come back, you see how much meat we got from Alessandra Fasile from Italia. This is what we need to understand. It's not just America. It's not just here. It's happening worldwide. It's a philosophy. It's good guys versus bad guys. You know, how do you know the difference? There are some people just want to be left alone. There are some that just won't leave them alone.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Hello, good morning. What time is it there?
It's 4:15 p.m.
Oh, okay. So we get you at the end of the day kind of thing. You going home afterwards or you got more work?
Oh, I have more work, yeah. It's always late hours in law firms.
Well, how long does Mark plan to be there? He's getting there, he and Tracy, I imagine. You know, they're going to be there Saturday, and when are they leaving?
They're leaving on October 11th, so more than 10 days, 12 days.
Wow, so they're good. All right, cool. Are they staying there, or are they going to other places in Europe, or are you going to show them what's up?
They stay in Rome just one day, and then they plan 3 days in Prague in the Czech Republic. Then they are coming back, and we will have the cruise together. And we would be Western Mediterranean, so it would be Naples, Palma de Mallorca, Barcelona, Marseille in France, and then we stop in La Spezia, and from there we have hired a minivan, and we will be visiting a little bit central Italy. That's the plan.
Very cool.
We thought to see Venice, Florence, and then whatever the guys like. I think the girls would like more to go to the seaside, but it depends on the weather, because now it's fine, but it's a little bit colder, so it's not really to be on the beach. So let's see how the weather will evolve, and then we will decide what to do.
Yeah, just started cooling off, getting under 100. Yeah, we're like,
yeah. No, it's well below 100.
We're still around. Swimming, but it's not for long. I mean, you know, it's going to get there. No, it's just the summer where it's, oh my God. But, you know, it's not that bad as long as you got a pool. This is, I'm interested also, we go into the next phase. You know, we got the deep state that we're up against. And here in America, it's this Trump-Clinton thing is freaking entertainment here. But I'm just, and we're having, we do always do these debate parties. Well, Monday, it's Monday Night Football. You can't compete with Monday Night Football. So we have, you know, two televisions. We're going to have one out back and one in the living room. And we'll be doing Monday Night Football versus debate. And we'll see who crowds around what TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They go,
okay.
Oh, no, he took her down on the ground for the count. Oh, it's Hillary. She fell over. I mean, you know, so I'm just, you know, I'm wondering when we come back, I want to get your perspective of watching. I mean, I imagine you pay a little bit of attention. They got, you know, some news coverage once a night of something that happened to Hillary and Trump, right?
Yeah, of course. There's a big coverage about the U.S. presidential
elections. I want to hear what they have to say, man. I want to know the mantra
it's
is.
It's funny.
All right. We'll be right back in about 10 seconds. Here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, Alessandro Fusillo from Italia. He's in Rome, I imagine. Are you in Rome right now, Alessandro?
I am in Rome right
Rome.
Now.
Rome, okay. That's correct. You have offices in, Madrid, Berlin, and I think you had another one you were opening up here directly, weren't you? Munich?
In Munich, yes, we have since years, and we opened up another one recently in Tenerife, Canary Islands, which is a very nice place and very interesting place to do business.
Okay, wait. Canary Islands, is that... you have a villa there or something? We're going to spend some time in the Canary Islands. I'm going to visit you in the Canary Islands.
Yes, of course. It's a great place. Eternal spring, nice sea, and wonderful landscapes, a beautiful volcano. Most beautiful place to be. It's in front of Africa, but it's European Union politically because it's part of Spain. And yes, it's a beautiful place and a very interesting place for doing business because it's one of the least known tax havens in Europe.
So. Really? Hey, do they have good scuba diving?
Yes, they
Boom,
have.
Boom, I'm there. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Deal.
All right, man. You let me. We'll work it out. You know, I want to because I'm looking for an excuse to go do some good scuba and see Alessandro. So, I mean, you know, we'll work it out.
Great.
You know, this is, I'm interested in what your view from Rome and Europe on our presidential election cycle here. I mean, is it as much entertainment for y'all as us?
Yes, it is, definitely. The American presidential elections in Europe are a big thing. So in the news we have every day we have something about the presidential elections. It's not like the elections somewhere in some part of the world, but I think it's one of the most important elections as far as coverage is concerned in Europe. In fact, the American presidential elections get more coverage than equally important elections for, let's say, in France or in Germany or in Italy or whatever. So it's a big theme. And it's very funny, I must say, because we have what goes on in the news. We have the fight between the very good and the democratic and the gentle and the nice Miss Hillary Clinton and the bad guy who has terrible haircut and who says terrible things. Donald Trump. That's how it's presented every day in the news. So, and what especially comes every time is it would be a great disgrace for Europe if Trump gets elected because he is an isolationist. He wants to withdraw from everywhere, and so we Europeans will lose the big mother, the United States, that protects us from the bad guys, from Mr. Putin, first of all, and from the Arabs and from the terrorists and whatever. This is what you get. And it's just, I think, it's just funny. It's so...
Well, how are the people taking this? How are the population? Is there polls of, you know, Italians vote, you know, this many for Hillary or Trump? Or it doesn't matter what they say. They're going to report something different anyway. But I'm just wondering, you know, what the populace, you know, their opinion. Do they even have one? Do they really care as much as they're trying to make the people care?
I think the people... don't get and don't buy it what they see in the you already saw it recently with the Brexit vote. There is a deep fault line between the news and the newspapers and what the people think, and it's getting deeper and deeper every day. So what you see on television or what you read on the newspapers is not what the people think. If you speak with common people, I think most of all, they are neutral about the U.S. elections. Okay, it's a big thing, but it's far away, so it doesn't really concern us that much. And then what you see is, okay, maybe Trump is a strange guy, but first of all, he is funny. Second, he is famous. Many saw the Apprentice, the American version, and they like him because he is in the popular opinion the image of success, of money, of a successful entrepreneur. So I think there is a positive feeling about Trump, which Hillary Clinton does not have. What usually people fear, and I think they are very right about it, If Hillary wins, then it will be trouble for Europe, trouble for the Middle East, because the actual war scenarios are going to get worse. This is the feeling which most people have, and I think it's a correct feeling, because this is what we will get most probably if Clinton will be elected.
Yeah, war. Is war a real concern? And are they starting? Is that fear, you know, driving a lot of policy? Is it really, you know, on the doorstep of a thermonuclear and, oh my God, and Syrian and refugees and Merkel wanting to get more of coming? You know, what are the main issues that are going on? Are there main elections going on this fall in any of the countries in the European Union that will drive this discussion?
Yes, there have been recent elections. There have been two recent local elections, but important local elections in Germany. The city of Berlin, which is a city-state, had elections recently. And the new party, which is called Alternative für Deutschland, which means an alternative to Germany, which opposes very strongly Merkel's migrants policy, had a huge success. The city will be governed as usual by the left-wing parties, the socialists, the ecologists, and the extreme left-wing party. But anyway, they had a big success, and they had almost as many votes as the Christian Democrat Party, Miss Merkel's party. In Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, which is a region in the east of Germany, they had elections too, 1 month ago, or a couple of weeks ago, more or less, and there they had a big success too. So there are strong signs that Merkel's migrant policy is very unpopular in Germany.
But why? What is her motivation? I'm trying to. Is she just carrying the water for somebody else that wants it for some reason? And you know, and his initials are, you know, Soros. I mean, you know, what's going on?
I think yes, this is my impression. I think Merkel had to accept the migrant policy, which is foolish for Germany, is foolish for her party, because the Christian Democrats have no intention to. Accept this huge tidal wave of refugees in Germany. And if you look at it from an external point of view, she is committing political suicide, which makes no sense, and especially it is contradictory with previous declaration which she made about the migrant policy.
You know, when we come back, we're going into break. When we come back, I want to find out, you know, what is her motivation? Who is behind? What is behind? What is to benefit whom? I need to know. Alessandro Fasilo from Italia is going to help us understand when we come back in just a little bit. Yeah, I still have not yet got an understanding. I mean, if they're going to take some kind of a open border, all humanity, libertarian, philosophical, leave you alone, free to contract with anybody kind of thing they want to do, make that argument. That's not the argument they're making, okay? Their argument is, you know, we need more migrants here because of what? What's the argument? How is she portraying? Are they short of labor or something? I mean, what's their argument for opening up immigration?
Yes, what they commonly say is the migrants are good because they will be new workforce in Germany, because diversity is a good thing, because we need the cultural enrichment by different and so on, which is a very weak propaganda too, because the people don't want it. Migrants. And then, sure, there are among the migrants some people who may be a cultural enrichment, or who maybe could join the workforce in order to do something to enrich and in Germany, but this is most unlikely. Most of them will be just a burden for the German taxpayer and for taxpayers in whole Europe. There's no difference to the other countries, and it will be a net cost without any benefit.
Well, what do you think is the motive? I mean, is that why we need more work? BMW called me and said we need more workers from Syria. I mean, or is it something else that is really driving this? Is she got her marching orders from somebody or something? I mean, from whom? What? Why? The real reason.
I think she has the marching orders in big part from the United States, who need destabilize Europe in order to increase fear, and fear means more power to the governments, and that's it. We have this big wave of terrorist attacks, which leave me at least skeptical, let's say, put it this way, because I don't know if they are false flag attacks or if they manage to recruit some very stupid people willing to sacrifice themselves for very dubious terrorist attacks. But at the end of the day, you have an increasing sensation of fear among the people. There was recently a very interesting demoscopic overview in France where they put the question if the people would prefer security or privacy. And the overwhelming answer was we prefer security, which is the old thing. So we waive our rights of privacy, we waive our rights of liberty in favor of a stronger state. And this is what we are getting. We're getting more police, more military, more control, especially financial control.
Oh, European army, we need to talk about. Oh, I went and saw the movie Snowden.
No, I didn't see it, but yes, that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, you should go watch it. I was not pissed off. You know, usually I'm just like, yeah, they don't. I thought they encapsulated it in a couple hours and got, you know, kind of the gist of it. Generation Next is going to whip ass, man. We're just not taking it. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, some chair dancing. I'll let you watch. That white man overbite thing. Okay, what we're going to do is I wanted to talk and get a beat on what's going on in Europe and how it compares and the importance of what happens here in America. And it's entertainment, but one of the issues that's come up is the European army. I mean, blah, 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 blah. What do you want? Alessandro was telling me about, you know, a poll they do. You want privacy or security? Security! We all going to die, and we need to have and got it, and don't, and we'll be safe if. And I'm going, okay. So now they're talking about having a European army. Well, I thought, is that what NATO is? Or NATO is not, you know, anymore just this North Atlantic Treaty up against Russia? Can we got have a Third World War so that we could justify NATO, or we get European army and they'll get to do whatever and we don't need NATO anymore? Then we have the United Kingdom go, oh, no, you're not going to be allowed to have a European army because then it'll be up against us. What the hell is going on, Alessandro? Are you going to have a European army or what?
The European army is one of the projects of the European Union. They do it their usual way, so they put something out, they start speaking about a project, and they slowly implement it. I think Juncker said it. We just put something in the room, and if there isn't too much protest, we go further and we implement our project, regardless of what the people think about it. The European army and the European police force is one of these projects, and I think it's a very dangerous project, especially because it goes jointly with the strategy of fear that is clearly behind the migrant crisis, the terrorist crisis, which I have no elements to say that the terrorist attacks may have been false flags attacks. But anyway, they come in very handy to the governments, because as long as there is terrorism, as there is fear, they can implement bigger police forces and they can have more powers. It's not a new thing in Europe, especially in Italy. In the 70s and 80s, we had this strategy of tension. The idea was to block the growth of the Italian Communist Party by means of terrorist groups killing policemen, judges, politicians, and instilling a sensation of fear in the people. And this played into the hands of the forces which wanted to conserve the situation that was there in Italy and to implement more and more forces for the police, for the state, and so on. And this is exactly what's going on another stage on the whole European scene, in my opinion.
Well, to what end? Why would they want a... so they can have their own military-industrial complex? Or the military-industrial complex is just finding new customers to sell, you know, F-22 Raptors to or something, or 35, or whatever the heck number that fiasco is? I'm wondering what the goal is. Is it to have a Third World War? Is it to, you know, call the herd, and how many people can we nuke or something? I mean, why?
I think here, European establishment and the American military-industrial complex go very much hand in hand. To have a European army, a European police, means that we Europeans will buy lots of weapons from the United States. That's it. We will produce part of them because Europe has a nice production of weapons, but the biggest bulk of this industry is in the United States, and there's interest to say, let's build a European force, let's merge or join the different armies in Europe, because they could be a very handy ally for the United States. They can buy weapons from the United States, and maybe, yes, they can participate in some major war. I don't know if there's really the interest of getting the world into a Third World War. Maybe there's some Doctor Strangelove lurking behind the scenes, but
there always is.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's so realistic, because these people, at the end of the day, they want to make lots of money. And to make lots of money, an eternal war on terror, like the one we have, it's going on since 15 years, and there's no sign that it will end soon. And small proxy wars, maybe in the Ukraine or in some Middle Eastern country, are much better, because a big war is very dangerous, and it can destroy much and much wealth. So,
you know, I remember when they, I think it was McCain here from Arizona, he said, yeah, this is a, you know, we're going to have a 20-year war on terror or something like that. And Butler Schaefer, you're probably familiar with on Lou Rockwell a lot, yeah. You know, Butler said, he goes, you know, at least they had the courtesy in the Seven-Day War and the Hundred-Year War to name the war after the war. We got a 20-year war, and that hadn't even started it.
So I don't know if they will be sufficient, because we have already 15 years terror war since September 11, and I don't know if in 5 years it will come to an end.
Probably not. They're going to have to shift to a
30
new
30 years war, or even longer.
Well, I think they may shift to a the alien war. You know, we got Alpha Centauri, the alien, somebody's kind of going to kill us, you know. We need more money. You know, space station, a moon base Alpha or something.
Why not? Mr. Lord Keynes would be delighted of a project like that, because it's public spending, so it boosts the economy, in his opinion.
Okay, what about what's his name, Farage? You know, what about Brexit? What about the role of European Kingdom now that they've done the Brexit thing? What does Brexit even mean? Are they really out of... I mean, they were using their own pound anyway. I mean, what the heck does that even mean to you guys?
I think Brexit was a beautiful thing when the people took the vote and they said, we want to get out of the European Union. And that's it, basically. Because If you look at the whole thing, Theresa May is the new prime minister, and she was not for Brexit. She was against it. And this lady should negotiate with the European Union. In my opinion, they will stretch the process for as long as possible. They will try to negotiate a condition similar to that of Switzerland, of Norway, in order to have the UK on board, but not to have it, and to fool the people. They will say, "Yes, we bargained very hard, and now we are out of the European Union, but not really out of the European Union." This is my opinion. So, at the end of the day, it will be a very poor thing in comparison to the vote.
Well, I'm wondering, when they say out of the Union, what does that even mean? You know, Brexit affects, you know, who, how? I don't understand. Oh my God, they're out. We're not going to get Wheaties anymore or something. I mean, I don't understand. What does it mean?
Up to now, it doesn't mean anything at all, because up to now, the negotiations still have to start, and so the United Kingdom is still part of the European Union. So if you look at the things that commonly affect people, so entry in the UK and vice versa, or trading with other European states, nothing happened. That's it. Because nothing has been decided on a political level. It will be some time. We don't know how much it will last. The procedure says it will be 2 years, but who knows? They didn't even start. Then, if you are out of the European Union, this doesn't affect at all trade or movement of people. There are lots of countries in Europe which are out of the European Union, like Switzerland, like Norway, who trade usually with the European Union without any problem at all.
So when we come back, you know, Alessandro will be the guy, because he has law offices all over freaking Europe, you know, for some reason, protect them against the European Union or something. We're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
Okay, so we got one more segment. I want to make sure we get, you know, any and everything we want to make sure we get in. You know, what are some of the things you want to make sure we talk about?
I think maybe one interesting topic is the independentist movements, which are getting bigger and bigger in Spain, in Italy. Scotland maybe could take another vote. This could be an interesting topic. And the other thing is there are lots of interesting elections that will come. For example, there is the Austrian election. They will need to repeat the election of their president, because it was declared void by the constitutional court in Austria, because and they are trying to fix it again, because the two candidates is one let's say classical liberal and leaning to the right, and one of the ecologist party, and the original date was 2nd October, and they postpone it to December in order to get 16-year-old people to vote, and so they think they could shift the balance to the ecologist candidates.
Okay, very now this thing. Is Austria. Austria wants to go 16.
Austria, yes, 16 years. Yeah, yeah. They made the law, and if they change the date from October 2nd to December, then the 16-year-old will be able to vote.
Ah, score.
That's interesting. Yeah, they rigged the elections again, but by law this time. And then there's our referendum in Italy, which will be, they will fix the date for the referendum next week. And it's a big, big issue for Mr. Renzi. It can be an interesting topic.
Referendum
too.
For what?
For a change of the constitution. Basically, we had two chambers, the Senate and the Chamber of Representatives, like in the United States, which were... had the same powers, and with the new reform, the Senate will be changed. It won't be elected anymore, and the issues which the Senate will be voting will be less, and the whole procedure in the idea of Mr. Renzi will be easier to pass laws. That's it. In fact, it won't be easier, but okay, the plan is to make it easier to pass laws. But then he attached a big meaning to the referendum, because he announced that if he doesn't get the referendum approved, the constitution approved, he will resign. So there's big political issue going on.
Okay, we'll
referendum.
Talk about it on air. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, it's unbelievable! The stuff that we were talking about off air, I gotta share. You know, hit some of the highlights. We're gonna try and get it all in this segment. There's elections in Austria that they're having to redo because of they voided it, election fraud or something. They're trying to do again. Something's going on. And they have a law, you know, 16-year-olds can vote, but it doesn't apply to the election that they're having now. But they want to move the election past the time when the 16-year-olds vote because they can vote. And then Italy has a change to the constitution to do away with their, you know, what they call it, bicameral. I mean, we have, you know, the lower house, you have the House and the Senate, and they're trying to just do away with the Senate or make it the where they do other stuff and easier to pass laws and change the constitution. And it brings back the presentation that Alessandro did at the Anarcapoco in Mexico. What he had talked about was the European constitutions following World War II and how they were altered and changed and massaged to make sure the power of the state. And we could take whatever we want and do whatever we want, and we're wanting. We're just socialist, and they didn't have to win the war because we changed it for them. So I'm going, all right, so let's go ahead and talk about these. Let's start with Austria. Now, what you're saying, they voided an election because of why and doing what?
Yes, they voided the election after the left-wing candidate, the ecologist party candidate, won the elections, but the Constitutional Tribunal in Austria voided the elections because the procedure was invalid. Basically, they rigged the elections. Most probably the other candidate, he's called right wing, but in reality it's a classical liberal party and
libertarian.
Most probably, yeah, not libertarian but classical liberal. So it's okay that we have a state, that the state has powers, but the state has to be reduced. And most important of all, the party of the other candidate wants probably to get out of the European Union, like the Brexit vote. So it's a big issue. Now they have to...
Now, wait a minute. Which one wants to get out of the European Union?
The right wing, the liberal candidate, let's say.
Yeah, okay.
That's the issue. Yeah, that's why it's so important. Because if as it's probable... Let's call him right wing, but he's not right wing. It's his name is Norbert Hofer. If he wins, as opposed to the other candidate, which is Alexander van der Bellen, then probably Austria will start discussing the exit from the European Union too. So it's a big political theme attached to these elections. Probably that's why they rigged them in the first place, and why the constitutional tribunal had to declare the elections void and to order them to make new elections. Now it's very funny because according to the legal procedure in Austria, the new elections should have been on October 2nd. In 10 days, more or less. But they made a new law about the right to vote. And when the new law gets in force after October 2nd, then 16 years old will be allowed to vote. And now they are postponing the date of the elections from October 2nd to December 4th in order to make sure that 16 years old will be allowed to vote, and most probably because they expect that the younger people will vote more in favor of the left-wing candidate, of the ecologist candidate, Van der Bellen. And this is how they are trying to rig the elections by law. It's a very funny thing which is going on in Austria. Austria is a small country, so you don't get much in the news about it, but it's funny.
So now you have Austria, they have an election. Their version, I guess, of the Supreme Court or something said, it's invalidated, it was corrupt, it's dumb, we're going to have another one. And they, at the same time, they passed a law getting the voting age down to 16 and the date of the election so that they can get a lot of those 16-year-olds to vote for the other guys to kind of, blah, blah. I mean, sounds like America.
Yeah. It's very similar, yeah.
So the pushback on all, you got in Italy, you're having a challenge, a change in the constitution. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay. The political issue is more important than the legal issue, because if you look at the new constitution, it's only a part of the constitution that has been changed. And basically, until now, we had, as you were saying, upper chamber and lower chamber, Senate and Chamber of Representatives, which, like in the United States or in many countries, have the same powers. So each law has to be approved by both chambers in the same text. That's it. Now, what the government is saying, this is too complicated because we need to pass laws faster, and so let's abolish more or less the Senate and keep only the Chamber of Representatives. They did it in a very clumsy way, because the Senate still remains. It will be a chamber which represents the different regions which form part of Italy. We have 20 regions which have their local parliaments, a little bit like the states, the United States. And so the new Senate will be elected by the local parliaments, which will elect representatives, and then it will not waive all his competences, but there will remain some things, some laws where the two chambers will need to take a vote. There will be the possibility for the Senate to call some laws to be discussed by the Senate. So it's a very complicated proceeding, the one that comes out from the new constitution. In my opinion, it will be more difficult to pass laws, and it will make sure that we have lots of claims before our constitutional court, because the legal proceeding about the passing of the laws will be invalid. But this is my opinion. The political issue, which is the most interesting one, is that Mr. Renzi attached a very deep meaning to this referendum. We already had referendums in the past. Berlusconi tried to change the constitution. The change didn't pass, and that's it. Nothing happened. But he loaded a very important significance on this referendum, because he publicly announced that he will resign if the referendum doesn't pass. So the fear is, if the referendum doesn't pass, if the people vote no to the change of the constitution, then he may be forced to resign, new elections will come along, And in the new elections, probably the new party founded by the comedian Beppe Grillo, the Five Star Movement, will gain the elections, and they will have the new prime minister. This is a possible future scenario. I don't see it as very probable, because I think Renzi started to understand that probably he won't win the referendum, because the general sentiment is to vote no to the change of the constitution. And so he's trying to find a way out of what he announced, and most probably he will lose the referendum and he will not resign. He will wait until 2018, when the new elections are due in Italy. This is my forecast. But it's a very interesting election, especially, again, because the prospective new winners in Italy, the five-star movements, is another political force which is very much against the European Union and probably against the euro. So
okay, now we're coming up on the end of the live show here, and I just want to know, the sentiment of the people is really exit? I mean, they're wanting to dismantle? They don't want a European army? They do? I mean, you know, where are the people on this?
The common people is against the European Union as a bureaucratic monster. So whatever comes from the European Union in terms of regulations, of new laws which are passed every month and that has to be complied and so on, the people are against this. But the idea of the European Union, the people love it. The idea of having no borders between European countries, of having just one currency, of having the possibility to settle in another European country. So I think there's a double sentiment. There's the original idea of the European Union as a space of peace and common trade, which the people still like, but that of course doesn't need any bureaucracy and any laws to be enforced. And then there's the European Union as a gigantic Leviathan, which the people definitely hate.
Oh, I'm like that. People get to have a say. Alessandro Fasilo.
You know how...
Yeah, I just let you go right up to the edge, man. I am interested in how the United States America election is going to be perceived, watched, heralded, protested, whatever, in Europe. When certainly, if not before then, you know, probably before the election, and hell yeah, after the election, we got to get you on to tell us all about what's happening there and what the people are thinking, what they're reporting on television and so on. Not that that's the truth or anything, what they report. But, you know, this is here. It's we do a lot of coverage of this, but I just can't. This is what I see. Just like all the stuff that you're talking about is happening, this health thing and what's going on. I mean, is she really, you know, have problems or not or whatever? The impression that I'm getting, it's a distraction from them eliminating Gary Johnson and Weld from the debate. Not that I think they're real libertarians or anything, but, you know, just that everything they can to keep them out. And nobody cares. Nobody wants to watch. It's, you got all the cable news, 10 million on thermonuclear mushroom cloud day, maybe watching, you know, all the cable news combined in a country of, you know, 330 whatever million people. And I'm going, I don't care what they say, and then most of the people don't. They're more on their Facebook or internet or friends or don't pay attention. Well, what happens is, you know, as they're getting closer to this debate the first time between them, I don't think they feel there's enough interest in it. Nobody's going to watch. They'd rather watch Monday Night Football. But you got to hurry up. You got to watch, because Hillary might fall down dead on stage. You got to watch. You got to see if she can even stand there the whole time. Go, oh, she's swaying to the left, to the right. Oh, she's about ready to fall over. You know, it just seems like it's just theater and BS and bullshit.
Yeah, it's theater, most definitely. And then there's the whole thing going on about the body double of Hillary. Who knows if she has a body double that impersonates her on some occasions. This is another thing that maybe interests people to look the debates. Yes, it's that's it. It's just a big show.
Well, I'm how insulated are you from the big show of here and there and so on? You getting near time to, I'm going to find me a Canary Island on the beach if I'm out of here?
Yes, I personally don't really care about the whole thing. I think it's just a show. That's it. And I'm not very confident even about Trump, because if he wins, okay, maybe it's a little bit better as far as war is concerned. But anyway, if someone gets elected as the president of the United States, though, I think he has he is very well established within the deep state. So I don't trust Trump either.
You know, the other thing, yeah, there, I apologize, I want to inject this. You know, Karen Kotowski, you see her on Lou Rockwell, right? You know who I'm talking about. Colonel Karen Kotowski. Yeah. I have her on a regular basis, and she was like, yeah, you know, the deep state hates Trump. They hate Trump. I want to get some Trump. Yeah, well, he kind of endorsed McCain and Ryan and did. Yeah, but better than until he started bringing Woolsey in. And he was a big architect of the Iraq war and part of Bush's. As soon as that got be part of his foreign policy, these guys came in. She went big time anti-Trump. She's like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so there it's I think he's as infected as the rest of them.
Yes, it's my opinion too. So it was very interesting when Trump had these meetings with Kissinger, which was also very, very revelatory about what he was about to do. So I don't trust Trump either. I think he is slightly better than Hillary because maybe he is a little bit more inclined to make a deal with Putin. I think this is the most dangerous thing. A confrontation with Russia could be very dangerous for the whole world. And so this is, in my opinion, this is the most sensitive thing about, not let's not say peace, because it's not about peace. We are very far from peace. But anyway, not so much war. Let me put it like this. But that's it. I don't trust Trump. I don't trust any one of these guys.
It'll be interesting. Let's go. I got to get to my next guest. But I tell you, you know, after, God, at least two debates, I think it'd be time for you to come back on. Will you do that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I don't talk to Mark before he leaves, make sure you say I'm envious and jealous and wish I could have made
it.
And kind of, you know, damn it. You know, it's just I'm not as rich as you guys. But, you know, next time you give me Canary Island, go scuba. And I'm planning up for a trip to do some scuba and I'll make it Canary Islands, man. I don't care.
Definitely. Yeah, right. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Alessandro. We'll talk to you later, man.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Bye, Ernie.
Bye.